ordinarily on the fourth Sunday of Advent, I'll preach about the Blessed Virgin Mary and her role in our lives, since the Gospel usually centers on her. But today, the Gospel speaks prominently of St. Joseph. Now, of course, Mary has a whole lot of feast days throughout the year, and she gets a lot of publicity, if you would, in the church. But poor St. Joseph only has two feast days, and we don't get to speak much about him. So today, I'll talk about St. Joseph. In the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure of heart, they shall see God." And there's no doubt that St. Joseph was a man who was indeed pure of heart. He had the right intention, he had the right desire, he wanted to serve God and do so correctly. Thus he is called Joseph the Just. Joseph the Just because his heart was God's heart, his mind was God's mind, his will was God's will. This is exactly what made him the man that he was. It was his obedience of faith, his desire to do the right thing, that makes him Joseph the Just. After the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph is the greatest of all the saints because of the great task that God had entrusted to his care. He's a son of King David, descendant of David, so he's of royal blood. He can't exercise it royally, obviously, because Palestine is under Roman control. And even though he knows he's of royal blood, he serves humbly as a carpenter, simply doing his work as God intended. He certainly ranks among the great patriarchs with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as he's going to be the foster father of Christ himself, the Son of God. With Moses and Elijah, he becomes a great prophet, but one who speaks not with his words, but by his very actions. Like Moses and Elijah, he follows the law, and he brings us all to a conscious awareness of the presence of Christ in our own lives as Christ was in his. As I mentioned, God entrusted him with the greatest of missions. He was the protector and the guardian and provider for the Blessed Virgin Mary and for the young Messiah. St. Joseph's hard work, his honesty, his integrity, his commitment, his deep humility, his courage and perseverance, all these things, of course, with his overwhelming faith, describe him truly as a man of God. St. Joseph was fully aware that he was created for the role of husband and father, and God gave him the necessary graces and gifts to carry out that vocation. He's a great saint because he corresponded in a heroic way to the graces that were given to him in that vocation. And the same for us. God gives us the graces necessary to fulfill our vocations, and we too can become great saints if we, like St. Joseph, correspond to those graces, even when it calls for heroism in our lives. He was the guardian of Mary's reputation and her good name at the time of the Annunciation. When Mary found out that she was to be a mother, she was about 13, 14 years old, no older than 15, which is the usual time of marriage at that time in history. St. Joseph himself was more than likely in his late teens or early 20s. Now consider that they were betrothed, but they had not yet come together as husband and wife. So in all practical purposes, in the way that marriages were arranged and taken care of at that time, they were considered to be for one another and for no one else. The marriage was altogether sealed, but they had not yet been publicly not publicly married, and hadn't lived together as husband and wife. So St. Joseph knows that this child is not his, but Mary comes to him and says, "I'm expecting a child." According to Jewish law, a woman who was caught in the act of adultery or sought to be or was impregnated by a man before marriage had two options. She could either be stoned to death, because as Deuteronomy says, you banish this evil from the sight of Israel, or whoever impregnated her would come and pay a considerable amount of money, a dowry, to her father, and then take her as his wife, but living in shame because of all the way that this has happened. Now, St. Joseph doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to expose her to shame. He won't have her stoned to death and certainly doesn't want her to be embarrassed. He doesn't know exactly what to do with this, so he wants to end this betrothal secretly and let things take their course. That's his sense of honor. Then he receives the message from the angel Gabriel saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. It is by the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, you're to name him Jesus. He will be the savior of their sins." And with that, Joseph does exactly what he must do. At that time and the time following thereafter, he is the protector of her good name, but also the protector of her purity in marriage. When you think about it, every man called by God to be a husband, called to be a father likewise, is there to protect the purity of his wife, the purity of his children, the purity of their hearts, their minds, but of course the purity of their souls. And as any man would, he is to fight. He is to fight off evil, fight against temptation, and be a warrior of grace himself. Oftentimes in our society, men are a bit lazy in that. They've been spiritually emasculated, if you would, sometimes by society and sometimes by the church, saying, oh, we don't want to be a toxic man. A toxic man beats up his wife and abuses his children, but a man who is strong fights off sin. He beats away temptation. He protects the purity of his wife and his children. He prays with them. He prays for them. He leads them to church. He becomes an example of what it means to be a man of God after St. Joseph's own heart. St. Joseph controlled his passions and his urges with a pure love for his wife, and likewise every man too is called to control his passions and urges out of his love for God and his love for his family. Purity comes from love. Strength and joy come from love. Strength and joy should be no obstacle to noble love but springs forth from it. As I mentioned, St. Joseph was probably a very young man when he married Mary. As St. Jose Maria Escriva writes it, St. Joseph had a young heart and a young body when he married Mary. He was young when he learned about the mystery of her divine motherhood, and when he lived in her company, he always respected that. He respected the integrity of God's wishes to give to the world the great gift of the Savior. He respects God's wishes that the sign that had come, the sign of his son, would share a life of grace, a life with his creatures. And St. Joseph must behave and act like a true husband and father, respecting Mary's integrity and, of course, being there to protect and to love the infant Christ. And St. Joseph did that. He behaved and he felt like a father toward Jesus. He concentrated his energies, his time, and his care and concern as a father would toward any of his children. He held Jesus in his arms. He played with him, made toys for him in his carpenter's shop. As Jesus would grow, he would teach him the carpenter's trade in the workshop, watching him grow, watching him become a fine young man. He took the young Jesus to the synagogue on the Sabbath and gave Jesus the affection as any father would toward his son. He, of course, felt a deep and troubling concern in the tragedies that would come about in his life. He felt a deep sorrow, of course, in that journey from Bethlehem to Nazareth, from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the census. He, of course, was worried by the words of Simeon when Christ was being circumcised, as he prophesied about the suffering that the infant would undergo. He heard that dark message of the wise men about Herod's intent to find and to kill the child Jesus, and had an even more dangerous journey going into Egypt to hide from Herod. And you can imagine that anxiety of being a refugee in a foreign land. And of course, he had to come back and resettle in Nazareth. And then there was that loss of Jesus at the Temple of Jerusalem. In his life, there was constant worry and concern, as any parent would have, a constant worry and concern for their children. But through it all, you see St. Joseph's faith, his hope and his love. It's a strong but silent faith. A strong but silent hope, a strong but silent love. St. Joseph does not say one word, not one word in all of Scripture. He doesn't just talk about doing the right thing, he simply does it. He simply does it. Saying nothing, drawing no attention to himself. And that was his life. It was a life of work, a life of prayer, a life of faithful obedience to God. A life of love for his family and dedication to their physical, spiritual, and moral integrity. That's what St. Joseph did. That's what any Christian man should do. To lead, to guide, to protect, and provide. To lead his family in the way of faith, to guide them by his example, to protect them by his strength, and to provide by his ability. That was the life of St. Joseph. That is the life of every Christian man. Some people are all talk and no action. St. Joseph, as I said, was a man who was all action and no talk. Scripture doesn't tell us when he died, so it was somewhere between the finding of the child Jesus in the temple when Jesus was 13 and the wedding at Cana when Jesus was around 29. So somewhere in between that is when St. Joseph left this world. But you can imagine the blessedness of this man, who after a lifetime of love and service to God, a lifetime of love and service to Mary and to Christ, at the time of his death is being attended to right there with Mary on one side and Jesus on the other. When he left this world, like all pious Jews, he went to the underworld of Sheol. Heaven was not yet opened. But St. Joseph is there with the patriarchs and the prophets, with all the holy ones of Israel, awaiting the redemption that would come by Christ's death and resurrection. Imagine St. Joseph's face when Jesus enters into hell after the crucifixion to redeem these souls and bring them into heaven, the great joy that was there, and Jesus looking directly at him, knowing that it was because of St. Joseph his life was spared as a young person, that he could suffer and die on the cross, but give him the power of his resurrection to bring them up to the glory of heaven. Of St. Joseph, Jesus could certainly say in a concrete way, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was ill and you cared for me. So come, you who are blessed by my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. May our lives be as St. Joseph's, pure in heart, obedient to God our Father through faith, dedicated to Christ through Mary, fulfilling the duties of our vocation in quiet perseverance, come what may, until we, like St. Joseph, see the Messiah face to face.